And now, from the DTC Sports Broadcast Studio, it's time for another episode of The Box Score, the weekly Middle Tennessee High School sports podcast for all things sports in Cannon, DeKalb, Gordonsville, Smith, and Watertown. Featuring your hosts, Terry Collins and the guru, Murphy Fair.
Now welcome into The Box Score for the 15th and final football show, Murph. It seemed like it's flown by, buddy.
So is this, what, 15 down and 15 to go?
For basketball, that's correct. But we'll sprinkle in a little basketball in today's show. We'll talk about Matt Farrell of Smith County about the big Hall of Fame day coming up over in Carthage and South Carthage on Saturday. But let's turn our attention now to football as Oneida and Gordonsville played last Friday night. Gordonsville gets the big win to advance to the quarterfinals. 21-6, and Murph, tell you what, Oneida had some pretty good guys up front, and when you look at 301 yards to 275, the Indians had the offensive stats, I guess, in their favor, but the scoreboard reads Tigers 21, Oneida 6.
I've got to give a couple of congratulations out there. One to the team. Those kids have played so hard, practiced so hard all season long, and it was kind of nice to be on the Gordonsville sideline watching them perform the way they did. And kudos as well to the coaching staff. I can't say enough about the coaches that Gordonsville have, and just about all those guys were Gordonsville Tigers themselves years ago, so they know what that blue blood's all about. I thought Coach Jackson had a great game plan, and the guys played really well. The fans were just incredible. The Oneida fans didn't really have a whole lot to cheer about. The game was pretty close. I think it was 7-6 at the half, if I'm not mistaken. Two-and-a-half-hour bus ride, and, you know, it's pretty special when you're still playing in week three and have a pretty good chance the way Gordonsville does this week.
Of course, we want to thank Sonica Carthage for sponsoring our team stats. They also sponsor our individual stats for that game. It is Turner Booker, 20 carries, 142 yards and a touchdown. Lee Scurlock, 15 rushes for 89 yards and a score. And then Cameron Stott, one reception for 24 yards and a score. Of course, Jay Foster was out for a little part of that game, but came back in the second half. And Murphy, they're going to have guns blazing when they head to Marion County on Friday night.
Well, Marion's not the defending state champion because they were lucky. That's a great program down there, and I plan on being there. I'll be a little late because I'm going to go watch South Pittsburgh play a little bit before I take the 8-mile trip to Jasper, but I'm really excited about the possibilities.
For Oneida, Ben Gilbert, 10 rushes for 99 yards, 7 receptions for 47 yards. Brock Rind, their quarterback, had a good night, 22 of 31 for 200 passing yards and a score. And then Grady Keaton, 5 receptions for 28 yards and a touchdown. But Murphy, you know, these teams maybe have met once or twice ever. And when you look at Gordonsville getting to play at home, I feel like them ruining the region was a tremendous advantage.
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. And then, you know, I parked right in front of the motor coach that brought the Oneida football team to Gordonsville High School. You know, they couldn't have ridden in style any better, but it was still a long road trip, and that can't work to your advantage. It's got to take a little bit away from you that way.
Let's go ahead and look at the Class 2A second round scores. Bledsoe County goes to Happy Valley and gets a huge win, 21-20. They'll turn around and play at home against Eagleton out of Maryville, who beat Grundy 17-6. Marion beats South Green 35-0. Huntington over Lewis County 49-22. And East Robertson under Chase Brooks beats Peabody 35-14. That sets up, you know, the quarterfinals, which a lot of people are excited about. Murphy, you know, when you look at 2A football, there is some outstanding teams out of those eight. And I feel like just whoever gets hot could win it. Eagleton at Bledsoe, Gordonsville at Marion, East Robertson at Huntington, and East Nashville at Milan.
I'm not a betting person, but if I were, I'd hide somewhere trying to pick those 2A games, because any of those games, and we'll talk about those in a little bit when we talk about picks, but any of those games that are remaining could go either way. 4 games left in each classification, and there's some great football still to be played.
And, you know, it should be some decent weather on Friday night, and you don't always get that when you get as deep as the quarterfinals and it being the third week in November, Murph.
I don't think we got to worry about the temperature. We may have to worry about the rain a little bit, but Right. Maybe we can get the games in before that rain gets here.
Let's go ahead and look at the Class 3A second round scores. Gatlinburg Pittman knocks out Forest 35-14. Meigs County beats Sequatchie 49-19. Tyner beats Unicoi County 56-28. Giles over McMinn Central 41-6. And then Westview kind of flexes their muscle as Westmoreland goes to Martin, but they lose 55-7.
There were a lot of games in 3A that I wasn't so surprised about who won, but the quantity of numbers between winning and losing were pretty strong. You know, they weren't close battles at all.
Let's go ahead and look at the quarterfinals for that Carthage Savoy brings to us, and that's Meigs County at Gatlinburg Pittman, Giles County at Tyner, Dyersburg at Covington, and Melrose at Westview. Murphy, there's some great matchups right there as well.
Yeah, there are, and I think those are going to be pretty one-sided as well. We'll just sort of have to wait and see. They're all playing for the opportunity to have Thanksgiving dinner together next week.
Of course, the Friday after Thanksgiving is always the semifinal round. And then when it rolls that first weekend in December, Murph, that's when everybody gathers in Chattanooga for the Blue Cross Bowl.
It'll be a fun week for sure.
Definitely will. Let's go ahead and look at the Class 4A scores. Greenville at home beats White County 35-0. Anderson County, a very impressive win there, Murphy, 44-14. I wasn't surprised that Anderson County won, but I was surprised at the margin.
Anderson County had just beaten Alcoa, a couple of weeks earlier? So they've got things going in their direction, and they are the defending 4A state champion. So, a news flash right here. Ella, the dog that goes out there and gets the kicking tee every time they kick off, is retiring. And I don't know if we'll get a chance to see her or not, but she's a sweet lab for sure.
Red Bank beats Gibbs 34-7 after narrowly getting by Macon County by 3 at home the week before. Alcoa goes to Upperman. It's a 28-28 game in the third, but the Tornadoes score the final 21 points of the game to end the B season, much to Judson Malden's regrets. and then Pearl Cone beats Crockett County 35-21. Setting up, Murphy, the 4A quarterfinals, Anderson County at Greenville. That's always a great rivalry, Murphy, one that will have an overflow crowd, and there'll be a lot of folks in Upper East Tennessee that will be heading to Greenville.
Yeah, if the helicopter wasn't in the shop, I'd probably go watch that game.
But Alcoa at Red Bank, of course, Alcoa notorious for what they've done in 3A, 10 straight championships. Now they're trying to go through 4A, and you know, they're looking at a rematch. Alcoa having to go to Anderson County if both road teams win there.
Yeah, and that's the only loss that Anderson County had. That Alcoa had this year was against Anderson County. You reckon there'll be any tickets left to watch that game? It ought to be a good one.
Pearl Cone at Marshall County, and then Springfield at South Gibson. Odds on favorites, Alcoa or Anderson County win the whole thing, but Murphy, that's the reason they play the games.
Well, it is, and Springfield's still got a pretty good team. I think they've only lost once, certainly no more than twice, and I know they'll be they've got a little bit of everything that they need to be successful, and they've done that this year all season long.
We'll talk with Smith County Lady Owls head coach Matt Farrell when we return to the Box Score, brought to you by Pavement Restorations.
The Pavement Restorations began in 2006 to help our clients find cost-effective ways to extend the life of their existing asphalt and concrete assets. We're now proud to be a leader in the asphalt and concrete construction industry across Tennessee. PRI offers asphalt paving and production, on-site concrete mixtures, asphalt and concrete repairs, preservation, and cold asphalt mixtures. So let our team introduce you to the PRI way of construction on your next project.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
When you look at the big picture, you're really looking at family. Nothing means more to you than their safety. DTC Security gives you the peace of mind to live your life your way, helping you connect what matters most, no matter where you are or what you do.
Your home deserves an all-star defense. For just $49.99, get a system with a touch keypad, 3 window or door sensors, motion detector, key fob, and standard installation.
Helping you live life your way. We're DTC Security.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile. Together. Hard work. Real pride. Good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking. Driven by purpose. Powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit HuffPuffTrucking.com to learn more.
Welcome in to the Box Score, brought to you by Pavement Restorations. We've been joined by Matt Farrell, the Smith County High Lady Owls head coach. Coach, I think it's your fourth year, if I remember right. I know you've got a big day coming up on Saturday with a huge Hall of Fame day. You've got 9 games, 6 at the high school starting at noon, and then you've got 3 at the middle school. I know you've got to be excited about that.
Yeah, we are. I mean, it's the first time, you know, the TSSAA had changed the way they'd done their Hall of Fame. At one time, up until this year, you paid half of the gate in order to host a Hall of Fame. Well, so we never did one. But now it's a $250 flat rate per game. So we went out and found, we got a list of sponsors, Citizens Bank, DTC, Realty Empire, West Construction, Cookville RV and Marine, Custom Home Building, Birthright Title, and Smith County Drug Center all kind of came in together and came up with the money to pay for all the games. So we can do it kind of as a big fundraiser, kind of to kick the year off. And I started out looking kind of at really good teams around. And, I reached out to some teams that I knew were good locally, you know, Stone Memorial and Cookville, and of course, we're going to be here. I got Bartlett coming in from Memphis, who's the front runner to win the 4A state. So we got some really good teams coming, and it's going to be some really exciting basketball and a good way to kick off the season for us, I believe.
Coach, looking at this list of schools, I am really impressed. How in the world did you get teams like Bartlett? It's a long way from here to Shelby County, and teams like Oneida, that's a 2-hour drive to the east. So you got them from one end of the state to the other.
Yeah, and that was, you know, that was kind of the thing. You know, at first I kind of reached out to teams that I knew perennially pretty good. With my thought process being, if we can get 4 or 5 really good games, people will come and sit and watch basketball all day long because they've not got to watch it in a while. So when I started reaching out to people, I was really surprised at how eager people were to, like you said, drive. I mean, Oneida to here is a haul, and of course Bartlett's even an even longer drive. Bartlett's playing Cookville the night before that, so he said, we're just going to stay in Cookville and we'll play at your place on Saturday if y'all have it. And I was like, listen, why would we say no? So but, you know, and then we got Huntington's they're a 2A state tournament contender. So it was a really good turnout, and like I said, I got with the right coaches, I feel like. that wanted to kind of, you know, that have good teams and want to challenge their teams early, and that's kind of what we want to do. So it was kind of getting like-minded people together, I guess is the best way to put it.
Matt, is this something you're looking at doing each and every year?
Yeah, this is something we want to keep trying to do year after year. And I've talked to Lebanon, and I've talked to, you know, some of the Sparta and some of the other teams around that are usually pretty good, and hopefully we can even grow it. I mean, we have six games here and three at the middle school, so I mean, we have potential to even play two or three more games over at the middle school without having to add another venue. And we have a couple of teams this year that are playing, you know, that are playing two games on the same day. And, you know, if we had a big enough turnout, obviously we would just tell everybody to play one game and, you know, you could include more teams. But the kicker to it for me is I want it to be quality opponents. You know, I don't want somebody winning 80-30. We're trying to pair up good teams kind of as a pre-season sort of precursor to what's coming, you know, across the state. So that's kind of where my mind is on it. But yes, we want to try to keep it going year after year.
I hope you've got a good group of volunteers to help you at the concession stand, because that's a great moneymaker there as well, because some of these teams are going to have to stay 3 or 4 hours if they're playing two games. It's not just come into the gym and play and go home. They'll stick around and look for some hamburgers or hot dogs or something, I would think.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we our booster club, we had a big talk about that, and you know, that's one of the things I said. Another thing too is a lot of these teams that are coming in, like, they're going to stay and watch good basketball. I mean, they're going to come in an hour and a half early, and they're going to stay an hour and a half late. So those kids are going to eat. Those families are going to eat. They're going to want to spend money. And, you know, not just for our school system, but just for even for, you know, for the city and for Carthage and for Smith County. It's a good opportunity to get a lot of people in, you know, and hopefully it'll help some of the local businesses and stuff around too. So hopefully it'll be a win for everybody.
Matt, when you look at putting on something like this, you've got to have scorekeeper, you know, you got to get all that aligned, the PA person, the janitor and all that. I mean, and you've got to do that at two venues. Yes, it helps that you've got the sponsors for that $2,250 covered, which makes you be able to keep the gate money and I'm sure split it with the guys, although there's a lot more girls teams in it than boys. I'm sure Lane wants half the teal, but when it comes to that, it takes a lot of people and a lot of different ways to put it on an event that features 9 different games.
Oh yeah, it's an undertaking, and trying to make sure that we cross all our T's and dot all our I's and make sure we don't forget something along the way and have to scramble on Saturday morning has been a big thing too. And you know, you just want it to go off without a hitch. It's the first year we've done it. It's a big event. You know, and if we come out and hit a home run on this one, then odds are it'll be pretty easy to get people to come back in the next year, especially if they see they're going to play a quality opponent and the thing's going to be done right. So that's kind of where we're at on it. And, you know, we've done a lot of behind the scenes work. Like I said, I feel like when the basketball starts being played, the hard work is really over. So hopefully we don't kind of let something slip and have a good turnout so we can, you know, keep this thing going year after year.
Matt, I want to go back to when this thing first began for you. How many of these coaches did you already know? I'm sure, like, for example, Stone Memorial and Cookeville and Pickett County, those are kind of in the neighborhood, but did you have a relationship with all of these coaches that made it a little bit easier, or was it like cold calling in some situations?
No, there was a couple. Huntington, I really didn't have a relationship with him. A couple on the boys' side, I don't really know. But as far as most of the girls' coaches, like Wes Shapley that coaches at Bartlett, I know him through, you know, travel ball and through summer, playing in the summer in camp and stuff. We've seen him a couple of times. And he's friends with Corey Barrett at Lebanon and Dodge at Sparta. So I had a kind of a mutual contact with him and kind of got to know him through that way. And then, of course, Mike Buck I've known forever. He actually started his career at Pickett just like I did. So, you know, I knew most of them at least well enough to call and say, like, hey, this is kind of in the early stages, but this is what I'm thinking. we'd love to have you guys. We know you're pretty good. And if you'd love to be here, I want to go ahead and include you. So when I call people, I can say, hey, like, we know we've got X, Y, and Z coming. We would love to, you know, and I try not to play anybody, obviously, since you play regular season, and we don't want people playing the same, you know, district opponents playing back-to-back where they can sit and watch each other and all that kind of. So I had to kind of play with some things there to make sure it worked out for everybody. But I sort of had a relationship with most of them, and the ones I didn't, either Lane had one or I knew a kind of a mutual contact.
I'm impressed. And I that's got to help everybody, don't you think, Terry, all the way around?
Does. And we're going to have some more with Matt Farrell. We'll talk about his team that lost three seniors from a year ago when we returned to the Box Score, brought to you by Pavement Restorations.
Community Wellness Clinic is a nurse practitioner owned and operated full service medical clinic. Our emphasis is on good health and wellness throughout every generation of your family. We strive to provide the expert quality of care that our patients deserve and expect. Along with primary care services, we also offer a full complement of urgent care services. Let us be your family's good health partner. Community Wellness Clinic in Woodbury. Phone 615-563-7515.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile. Together. Hard work. Real pride. Good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking. Driven by purpose. Powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit HuffPuffTrucking.com to learn more. Got a special outdoor project that you need to tackle? BDGR Excavating is the one to call. Custom land clearing, mulching, excavation, and more. They can help get the job done, even when others have failed. Call the problem solvers at BDGR at 615-489-1329 and let them help you get that project out of the way so you can really start enjoying your property. BDGR Excavating.
Welcome back to the Box Score, brought to you by Pavement Restorations. And we're with talking with head coach Matt Farrell, the Smith County Owls. We talked about the Hall of Fame games, nine of them, six at Smith County High School starting at noon. And then you've got the three at the middle school. And I know everybody's excited. They're at 3, 4:30, and 6. But you can get 9 hours worth of basketball if you want to go to Bill Anders Gym on Saturday starting at noon, and encourage you to do that. Coach, let's turn our focus now to your team. I know last year, 23-9, the year before that, of course, you went to the state tournament, wound up losing in the region semifinals. You lost three seniors in Chloe Collins and Chloe Ramsey. I'm sorry, Carly Ramsey and Chloe Pyle. Chloe Pyle now at Maryville playing there. But I know, Coach, your girls got that taste of state tournament for the first time since 73, a year before last, and I'm not going to say they're not going to be disappointed if they don't go there, but they've set the bar pretty high,
right,
in making that achievement.
Yeah, they have, and you know, it's kind of beyond my wildest imagination a little in some ways, because we're to the point now where, I mean, they'll just flat out tell you, if you ask them what your goals, and they'll just flat out tell you, if we're not playing in Murfreesboro, we feel like we've had a disappointing year, regardless of what our record is. And you know, that's a heavy burden to carry in some ways, but it's also one that you really want, you know, you want your kids to buy into that type of mentality where we want to challenge ourselves. I mean, we put together probably the most difficult schedule that we've had in the 4 years I've been here, and I would argue probably as difficult a schedule as anybody in Tennessee has that's in 2A this year to get us ready. And you know, I think I think if you ask the kids, most of them would say, if we're not playing in Murfreesboro, then we didn't get the job done. So I'm proud of them for accepting that, you know, that type of mentality and that type of burden, even though, you know, they're young, and that's a really hard thing to do. So it shows a lot of mental toughness on their part, I believe.
In this whole operation, Coach, what was the most difficult part, I guess? They're all difficult, I would imagine, but which one did you maybe lose a little sleep over?
What do you mean, as far as?
Putting this whole tournament thing together.
Really and honestly, just making sure that I don't forget anything, forget a PA or forget to line up a bookkeeper or, you know, something along those lines. And then people get there and then we're having to scramble. So the biggest thing, I guess, is just like everything else we do, I mean, from a team standpoint, just making sure that we're prepared on our end for anything that kind of comes up at the last minute, we're prepared to take care of it.
Coach, when you look at your team, a very tough opponent you open with in Pickett County, a team that went 26-4 last year. The year before that, they won the 23-24 Class A title at 29-2, if I remember that right. Of course, Coach, you're very familiar with Pickett County. You coached there before, coached their junior high. A team that you defeated, handed the Lady Bobcats one of their four losses last year, and that was at Byrdstown, which is extremely hard to do, but a team that no doubt that you're very familiar with.
Yeah, I'm very familiar, and you know, somebody asked me today about the game tonight, and I said I'll be a little more excited on Thursday night. A lot of emotion that comes with playing Pickett. You know, I spent a lot of time there. I spent a lot of years working with those kids, and but when the ball goes up, a lot of that kind of goes away, and it's, you know, you're focused on what your job is, and they have some really good kids. I mean, Zoe Nicholas and Addie Lowe are two of the premier kids in the Upper Cumberland right now. I mean, Zoe just signed at Tech, and Addie, I know, has got college offers. So, I mean, both of those kids could have a big night on any given night, and then you're in a dogfight with them. So we'll have to play well. It's a good early season test. I mean, we put together the three games this week to see where we were, you know. And I told people all year, I was like, listen, wouldn't that be 0-3? I don't know. We may be 3-0. Who knows? But we're going to know a lot about our team at the end of this week. And, you know, Pickett is just the start of that. And they know how to win. It's been a long time. I think they've been, I don't know, 8-9 times in the last 12 years or something to the state tournament. I mean, something crazy like that. So, anytime you have a group of kids that come in that have done a lot of winning and don't expect to lose, you can expect that you're going to get their best effort. So I feel like that's probably what we're looking at tonight.
Coach Terry and I both know a whole lot about both Canyon County and Smith County because we're both the play-by-play guys for those two high schools. And I'm just wondering, though, with a four-team district that we both have this year, how difficult was it for you to get a full, complete schedule? I know the coaches at Canyon County had trouble, and I figured up the mileage to all the away games that we're doing, and it's over 1,000 miles. And I'm guessing you probably ran into some of the same situations there.
Yeah, I would say that's probably right. I mean, we're going to Loretto on Thursday, and it's 2 hours and 40 minutes. I don't know how many miles it is, but it's quite a few of them. But now, yeah, and the thing is, I mean, we could have probably scheduled a few games a little closer than what we did. Loretto, you know, we kind of went out on a limb there with them because they were in the Final Four a year ago. The year before that, they were state runner-up. The year before that, they won it. So, you know, to me, I'm sitting there like, I want to play the best. And if that's one of the best teams in 2A, what better way to know where we stand than to go play them at their place and see where we fall? So it was harder to do scheduling with less, you know, with less district teams, but it also, in some ways for me, it's an advantage because it allows me to go out and say, okay, where are the really good teams at and how can I get them on our schedule? I mean, we got Blackman, we got Beach, we got Lebanon, we got Sparta twice, you know, so I went out and found some teams that, you know, if you're in a district that has six teams in it and two of them are really bad, then you got four, you know, that's four games you have to play, whether you're going to be, you know, win by 50 or lose by 50. So in some ways it's an advantage. I just look at it as an opportunity to go out and make our team better. So that's kind of the way we approached it.
Coach, when you look at this schedule, you don't see any cream puffs. You don't see any 30 and 40 point victories. And, you know, I think that bodes well for both you and Lane on the boys' side in the fact that every night you've got to bring your A game.
Yeah, and that's, you know, when Lane and I were putting that schedule together, we knew we're going to catch some flack from people because people want to go out and win 25 or 30 games every year, and I would love to do that too, don't get me wrong, but I don't want to win 25 games and 15 of them were teams you couldn't lose to. To me, I'd rather be 16-16 and playing in Murfreesboro in the state tournament and be able to walk in the locker room and say, listen, they cannot throw anything at y'all tonight that we hadn't already seen. And so in our mind, that's how we wanted to prepare our team. We want to battle test them. We want them to get there in March. And you know, we're sitting there getting ready for the region tournament. I didn't want them to be able to think there's not been any stone that we didn't overturn. We played anybody that would play us. We challenge y'all every way we can. You're ready. It's just time to go out and cash the check now. So that's kind of the philosophy that we use to schedule. And, you know, we may be 10-20 in February and everybody be going, you're an idiot for scheduling that. So we'll just have to see how it goes, I guess.
Matt, I appreciate your time and take my hat off to you for how you're approaching all of this. And I wish you well with the tournament, but the play day this coming Saturday, as well as the 25-26 basketball season.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you guys always supporting our athletes and following us and giving us time.
Well, Matt Farrell has been our guest, and he is now a resident of Smith County. He doesn't get to drive an hour and 15 minutes one way to school, forwards and backwards from the edge of Pickett County, and I know he's tickled with that. But anyway, Matt, we appreciate you visiting with us.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. I appreciate y'all.
Matt Farrell has been our guest, and we'll have a look at some of Murphy's picks when we return to the Box Score, brought to you by Pavement Restorations.
Got a special outdoor project that you need to tackle? BDGR Excavating is the one to call. Custom land clearing, mulching, excavation, and more. They can help get the job done, even when others have failed. Call the problem solvers at BDGR at 615-489-1329 and let them help you get that project out of the way so you can really start enjoying your property. BDGR Excavating.
Community Wellness Clinic is a nurse practitioner-owned and operated full-service medical clinic. Our emphasis is on good health and wellness throughout every generation of your family. We strive to provide the expert quality of care that our patients deserve and expect. Along with primary care services, we also offer a full complement of urgent care services. Let us be your family's good health partner. Community Wellness Clinic in Woodbury. Phone 615-563-7515.
Pavement Restorations began in 2006 to help our clients find cost-effective ways to extend the life of their existing asphalt and concrete assets. We're now proud to be a leader in the asphalt and concrete construction industry across Tennessee. PRI offers asphalt paving and production, on-site concrete mixtures, asphalt and concrete repairs, preservation, and cold asphalt mixtures. So let our team introduce you to the PRI way of construction on your next project.
All across our communities, DTC is working hard for you, each and every day, so you can experience amazingly fast internet, no matter where you live.
It's time to bench your bad internet and bring in the real MVP, GigSpeed from DTC. For a limited time, new customers get half off Gig Internet for 2026.
Call, stop by, or visit us online to sign up. DTC, making a difference where it matters most.
Welcome back to the Box Score, brought to you by Pavement Restorations. As always, Justin Malden doing a great job for us behind the scenes. We're in our final football session of the year, and Murphy Fair, you get to make some more picks. And I know before we get into that, let's talk about the Gordonsville at Marion County Of course, social media coverage only on DTC3 Instagram and X account. That'll be a big game in Jasper on Friday night.
Yeah, Marion County, the defending 2A state champion, and I know everybody down that way thinks this is going to be a cakewalk, but if Gordonsville plays as tough as they did against Oneida, it'll be a great game, I think. No doubt there'll be a lot of folks from the southern part of Smith County making the trip down there. It's not a bad trip because it's interstate just about all the way, but should be a fun night, and hopefully we'll have some good things to talk about next week.
Let's go ahead and look at the series history on this second meeting all time between the two schools. Marion County won 27-0 in the quarterfinals of the Class A playoffs. That was back in 1982. Gordonsville has two state championships in 1984 and 2012 under Mark Medley and Moose Marshall, and they have one runner-up. Marion County has five state titles, including the state championship from last year that broke a 29-year drought. They won it in 90, 92, 94, 95 under Ken Colquitt, and they have five silver balls in the runners-up category. It's about 100 miles between the two schools, a little over 2 hours, Murph. But, you know, Marion County, when you go there, it's kind of like going to Notre Dame Stadium. There's just an aura when you walk inside that venue.
Well, the decade of the 90s were certainly the best that Marion has done in a long time. But there have been times when South Pittsburgh, Marion County, and Whitwell, the third high school in that county, have all been in the Blue Cross Bowl at the same time, you know, same weekend. So it's a big deal down there.
Let's go ahead and look at the matchups. First, Murph, Lincoln County at Superior County.
Well, it was a shocker last week when Lincoln County beat Powell. I really didn't see that one coming. I don't think anyone in Knoxville did either. Sevier's the defending 5A state champion, and unless Smoky Bears get overconfident, I'd look for them to be in Chattanooga again 2 weeks from now. So I'm picking Sevier County in that one all the way.
Clay County heading to South Pitt.
Well, we'd like to see someone from the Upper Cumberland, you know, maybe do well in this game other than Gordonsville. But even the 1A coaches that I've talked to across the state in the last several weeks, they're all putting their money on South Pittsburgh. Even though last year MASE, which now has moved up to 2A, kind of made South Pittsburgh look like they didn't need to be there. But the Pirates should win their eighth state title next month, I think.
Gordonsville at Marion.
Well, Jasper's a tough place to go, but I think Gordonsville has what it takes to be a defending 2A state champion. I'm planning on seeing, like I said earlier, as much as the Clay County South Pittsburgh game as I can before making the 8-mile trip over to Jasper and hopefully see the Tigers of Gordonsville win that one. And I'm going to go with Gordonsville just because I want to see them win again one more time.
Middle Tennessee picks. We'll start with Maryville at Blackman.
Well, that ought to be a dandy. I've seen Blackman play twice this year and was impressed both times. Maryville's only loss was to Alcoa. Blackman's lone setback came at the hands of Oakland. This should be a good one, and I think the Blaze has a chance to beat the Rebels, and we'll just have to see how that one works out.
Such a storied history at Maryville. When you look what George has done through the years, of course, he's no longer there, Murphy, but there is a bar of excellence that George Quarles set awfully high.
Absolutely.
Beach at Page. Of course, Beach, their quarterback, Caden Powell, who played his freshman year at Smith County.
Yeah. Page, on the other hand, they have finished runner-up the last 4 years in a row. They're getting tired of that silver trophy. They want to get a gold one, and I think they do it. They've got a perfect record right now. Nobody's really been very close to them at all, and I think they've got all of the things that they need to win a state title. It'll be a good game, I think, though, with Beach.
You look at Anthony Crabtree year in, year out, the success that he's had, Murphy, and it's smash mouth football. You better buckle your chin strap on tight. And I know the Patriots can do that. I'm not saying they can't. But Beach plays a different game. When you out-physical a team like Upperman at their place in Baxter, you've done something. So Beach is not going to roll over in Williamson County on Friday night and say, hey, we're beat. I know they lost their first two games, Green Hill and maybe, I don't remember, Mount Juliet. Or, you know, they played two road games. But you wait and see. They'll give Paige a page a test, I think.
All the players of both of those teams will know they've been in a war when that one's over, won't they?
University School of Jackson going to Providence Christian, and I'm sure that will be at MTSU.
It will be. Both teams have had a really good season. USJ has lost only once, falling to a 4A school, Dyer County, by 1 point. This one has a chance to be close, but I think the West Tennesseans have played a tougher schedule this year and should be alive and well next week when they eat Thanksgiving dinner and take the week off, because they don't play these because they have one less round in the playoffs.
Let's go ahead and look at the West Tennessee picks. We'll start out Ravenwood making that short trip down to Whitehaven in Memphis.
Yeah, Whitehaven fans think this year's 6A Blue Cross Bowl will be an all Shelby County event, and it just might be. Collierville faces Southwind in the other quarterfinal round game in the bottom part of the 6A bracket, but the Tigers have to get past Ravenwood first to make that an all Shelby event. Whitehaven entered the playoffs at 5-4. They've either gotten a whole lot better pretty quick, or maybe I'm reading the wrong book. I don't know. But nonetheless, I just don't think that Whitehaven has enough to take care of Ravenwood. They do such a great job over there, and I'm going to pick Ravenwood in that one.
East Robertson, Chase Brooks has the Indians once again. You know, he went to the state championship game a few years back. They did win a baseball state championship in the last 3 or 4 years. They've been successful in basketball. There's always a tremendous amount of athletes, and most time their name is Groves, Murph, and they're headed to Huntington.
It's kind of like the Harpers in Trousdale County, isn't it? I talked to the Huntington coach earlier this week, and he thinks that they've got a chance. Their only loss this year, Huntington's only loss this year, was to Milan, and that was early in the season when there were still 3 or 4 kids out hurt. They're all well and ready to give it 110%. I'm gonna pick Huntington in that one. I think that'll be a really, really good game to watch. Both teams loaded with a lot of speed, and we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Of course, Huntington in Carroll County, and their girls basketball team will be heading to Carthage on Saturday play a couple of games in the Hall of Fame day that DTC is helping sponsor, and we appreciate them doing that. East Nashville at Milan, Murph. Milan, you can't say Milan without thinking of John Tucker and the great things that he did through the years. And, East Nashville, a team that struggled early. They played a tremendously hard schedule. And it's kind of like, making a sword. It toughens you up when you play that tough schedule. So when you head to Milan in West Tennessee, that's not a eureka moment where your kids have the tight sneakers and the white eyes when they see the Bulldogs coming at you.
That's right. I saw East Nashville play a couple of weeks ago, and they eliminated my grandson's team at Adamsville. Adamsville actually led 10-7 at the half, but East Nashville really poured it on in the second half. And despite the win, though, Milan's a different opponent the Eagles are facing this week. The Bulldogs have not lost this year, and I don't think they'll have any trouble with East Nashville at all. I think that one, that could be a 3 or 4 touchdown game. I'm not sure, but I think Milan not only wins that one, of course, if they win that, then they'll probably tangle with Huntington. So you wait and see. Right. It'll probably be East Robertson against East Nashville. So we'll just have to wait and see on that one.
Murph, I know it's exciting. The deeper you get in the playoffs, I know for me, everybody's trying to get to Chattanooga to the Blue Cross Bowl. It should be a fun trip for all these teams.
Oh, I think so. I think so, and I'm planning on being down there. I get to be the sideline reporter for the 1A and the 2A and Division II 1A games, right. 3 o'clock game all 3 days. And I just love being around those small schools and small right. communities. Hopefully Gordonsville will be there as well. We'll just have to wait it out and see.
We want to thank all our sponsors, Pavement Restorations, Huff and Puff Trucking, Citizens Bank, Sonica Carthage, Carthage Segway, Community Wellness Clinic, and BDGR Excavation. That'll put a wrap on the football edition. We'll have basketball edition starting next week. As we remind you, you've been watching The Box Score, brought to you by Pavement Restorations.
You've been listening to
The Box Score. Join us weekly each Thursday for a new podcast episode, and make sure to subscribe and share so all get notified when new episodes arrive. On behalf of the crew at DTC Sports, Terry Collins and the guru, Murphy Fair, thanks for joining us.